and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What value do small group and cell groups have in the growth of the body of Christ in today's world? What role does the cell church have in America and beyond? Our guest today, Dr. Ralph Naber Jr., believes that it is the most sacred community on earth today. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through today, just know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He shed His blood for all. We know this and believe this. He was buried, but He was raised again on the third day. He was raised to clean us all, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every day, and today He is calling you. Dr. Ralph Naber is the founder of Touch USA, a ministry to help churches transition from programs and building-centered activities toward group-based ministry. He has earned degrees from Northwestern College, the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and from Luther Rice Seminary. He has also received an honorary Doctor of Sacred Theology from Southwest Baptist University. He lives with his wife, Ruth, in Houston, Texas. Dr. Naber, or Ralph, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Awesome. Thank you for spending some time with us today all the way from Texas, and we want to get right into a conversation with you. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and where you grew up.
Well, I was born in the Baptist parsonage on the kitchen table, delivered by a midwife in 1929 in Popo, Michigan.
Wow.
And my mommy and my daddy hauled me around the country quite regularly after that. Mm-hmm. Dad moved around about every 5 years, I think.
And was that in ministry work?
Yes, my father was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. My great-grandfather was a pastor.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, I think I'm something like the fifth generation of neighbors that mm-hmm. have all been pastors, mm-hmm. and I've got a son and a grandson who are also now pastors.
Oh, wow. What That's a amazing. Heritage.
And who would you say influenced you the most growing up?
My grandfather, R.E. Naber, wrote 300 books and traveled the world. In that day, in the early 1900s, they would have month-long crusades. And he had the whole Naber family together. His daughter played the piano. My dad worked with the youth, and one of the other brothers played violin, and another one was a song leader, and they had these protracted meetings, and R.E. really impacted me. When I was 8 years old, he knew I wanted to be a preacher, and he gave me a scripture verse from Isaiah and told me to go to my room and prepare a message and come back and preach it to him.
Wow.
And I think that got me started.
Do you remember that scripture verse?
Oh, yes, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions.
And so as God began to shape your life, Ralph, when do you first remember Him calling you and giving you that first direction and purpose in your ministry?
When I was 3 years old, I am told this by my relatives. My grandmother asked me Grandma Zimmerman, asked me what I would be when I grew up, and I said, I was going to be a peacher. I's a peacher now, but I just can't peach. But I never, ever had any thought of anything else from my earliest childhood, and I began to preach in a Skid Row mission when I was 14.
Wow. And it, you know, I look at your pathway, and you decided to spend a good amount of time in college and seminary. I want to understand, what value does that have to you in your ministry life? Because, you know, not every pastor goes through those many years of learning. Can you speak to that?
Well, in my generation, it was the thing to do. If you were going into the ministry, you were to prepare yourself. And I had been preaching all through high school, and my dad had gone to Wheaton College, and so I would obviously go there. And when I finished my college, I went to work for Billy Graham for 5 years. And after that, I continued on in my ministry.
And what was your role when you were working with Billy Graham?
And where?
He had just,
what I wanted to know.
He had just launched the Crusades when I was in my senior year of college. And the one in Los Angeles was a huge beginning. And he opened an office in Minneapolis. And I was in Northwestern College. For a brief time, he was president of Northwestern. And so I met him there. So I went on his staff in Minneapolis, and my job was to answer his mail for him and to ghostwrite some of the my answer columns that appeared daily in newspapers. And then later, when the film ministry developed, I moved to Washington, D.C., and was second in charge of directing that all over the United States.
Wow. And what kind of impact did that have on what you have done with your life?
Well, it gave me an opportunity to see the movement of God in evangelism, and my heart has already been focused on evangelism through Youth for Christ as a teenager. And I have continued to focus my life in that area. Later on, I would go to be with the Baptist Convention of Texas to be in charge of personal evangelism. And that led later to church planting.
Wow. I'm going to deviate a little bit, because we are always interested in knowing, how did you meet your wife?
I was in the dining hall room as a sophomore at Wheaton, checking out the freshman crop with my roommate. And in the line ahead of us, with this big, tall football player, was this gorgeous blonde. And I looked down the line at her, and I was struck like lightning. And I said to my roommate, Mark, I'm going to marry that girl. And when we got through the line, I figured she was the boyfriend of this big football guy. So I stopped at the table with my tray in my hands. I had been working out with this guy. And I said, who's your friend? And he said, oh, this is my sister. And that was it.
Praise the Lord.
God just put us together, and it's been 68 years now.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. And you have sons?
I have three sons. Ralph the third is with the Baptist Convention of California. My second son lives in Canada, and my third son, Randall, is here in Houston and is president of Touch Outreach Ministries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an amazing legacy you both come from and that you continue. So congratulations. At some point, and I've read a bit of your journey, at some point in your time working for Billy Graham and the Baptist Convention, something happened that kind of moved you away from the structure of the church, and God pulled your heart in a new direction. Can you tell us about that?
You know, I think everyone has a period of time of formation and collecting experiences and getting a sense of calling that eventually leads to the moment where if you're ever going to have a destiny and fulfill it, there has to be a special anointing, a very special commissioning that God gives. And that happened to me when I was 33 years old. I was at that time in the Baptist Convention here in Texas in the evangelism division in charge of personal evangelism. And we had a crusade that I was the main preacher for in Snyder, Texas. I was 33 years old, and I had been struggling for 5 years in that job with seeing a denominational structure that had formed around organization rather than around organism in the body of Christ. And I had recognized that organized Christianity did not produce converts. Out of 5,000 Baptist churches in Texas, less than 100 baptized as many as 100 people a year. And I became very, very disillusioned. And as I read the book of Acts, I began to see that we were in a hopeless condition and we needed major reform. And so at that point, I started to write a document that later we called the Red Book that laid out my plans to start an experimental church that would not begin with a building and an auditorium full of people, but with small groups meeting in homes exactly as they did in the Book of Acts. Mm. So I resigned my job, and small group in Houston invited us to come down, and we started in. It was a rough journey because all of the denominational bigwigs were very opposed to what I was trying to do. And so I felt very lonely for the first 2 or 3 years, but it turned out to be God's commission for me. And it all happened in Snyder, Texas, sitting on that platform waiting to preach when the Holy Spirit says, Ralph, this is the last time you'll ever do this. For the rest of your life, you're going to help me change the church in America and around the world. So I resigned my job, and by faith, we moved down to Houston and started in.
Wow.
Ralph, would you agree that small groups is one of the most important aspects of the church today?
I see more than that. The church is the body of Christ assembled in the community, in the house group. And if it's going to follow the direction that God has given us, you know, in the book of Acts, we're taught that the early believers went from house to house, breaking bread and fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. And then they visited the temple to hear the apostles teach. So from the beginning, Christ's body has always been like a bird that has two wings, the gathered wing and the scattered wing. But from late in the first century, the focus has been placed upon the gathered wing rather than meeting from house to house. And we see that in Hebrews, where very early in the latter part of the first century, the writer says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Yeah. So as a result, pastors through the centuries have not focused on developing the people of God to fulfill their ministries within their home groups. Mm-hmm. And in modern days, all the focus of the pastor is on the large wing gatherings. And instead of the home group's wing being equal or greater than the large wing, they become a secondary activity sponsored by the large wing, certainly never equal with it.
Yeah. Ralph, that is, I so believe in what you're saying. And I've so struggled, and reading all of your work has absolutely inspired me. We want to take a break right now. And we're going to come back. We're really going to want to dive deeper into what you just talked about, the importance and the value of meeting together in small groups, of being growing together in these smaller environments. We are here with Dr. Ralph Naber. He is 50 plus, almost 60 years, mentoring pastors across the world about small group and cell group church, or community, as he would say. Please stick with us. It's an important message.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer in studio for Danny Yamashiro. We're here with a very special guest, Dr. Ralph Naber Jr. Before we continue, though, we'd like to give you a chance. If you haven't heard the entirety, if you're just joining us, you missed the first segment, or you have to run, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can download this message. You can listen to it from front to back. You can share it with someone today. Please, we urge you to share it. To share this message today. Dr. Ralph Naber Jr. is widely considered one of the pioneers of the cell group or small group movement. After working in the leadership structure of the church and planting several, he turned his focus, or God turned his focus, to growing the small group church or community. He says that it was something the leadership of the structured church disagreed with. And it was lonely, but the Holy Spirit moved him to do something that really wasn't popular, but God. He's launched Touch Outreach Ministries. Let me say that again, Touch Outreach Ministries, with a desire to help churches transition away from programs and buildings and form cell groups in homes. Dr. Naber, we want to welcome you back. You began to tell us a little bit about small groups, and you call the small group the most sacred community on earth today. Can you explain that?
We have not recognized that the body of Christ has had two bodies in history. The first body of Christ was when he incarnated a man. Christ was the body of Christ. Jesus was the body of Christ. But we have failed to really understand that there is a second body that Christ lives in, and it's so clearly stated by Paul. Now you are the body of Christ. The present body of Christ should be seen as the most sacred thing next to the body of Jesus himself, because we are containers for the same Christ who lived in Jesus. And we have thrown the body of Christ under the bus. And it breaks my heart to see it. And we have never considered the fact that when this body of Christ began, God intended for it to go from house to house, breaking bread, fellowshipping, and influencing the little worlds that surround the group that meet in a room. If I have eight people in a room, those eight people touch probably 100 or 200 in their contacts, and that becomes a little microcosm mission field for the display of the presence and the power of God. The church building with its auditorium and its preaching can only secondarily reveal the power of God. But if we understand how the body of Christ meets in homes, it is not for Bible study. They went to the temple to hear the apostles teach. But Peter told us very clearly in the book of Acts that when we meet in homes, we are to prophesy. And we do not understand Old Testament prophesying and New Testament prophesying are two radically different things. The Old Testament prophet was the Nabi in Hebrew. He was a mouthpiece. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he spoke. But in the New Testament, with Christ indwelling us, out of our inner being will flow the anointing of the indwelling Christ. And what the body of Christ was supposed to be from the very first of God's intention for it is described exactly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, we have a description of what New Testament prophesying is all about. We do three things. We're meeting in our homes to strengthen and encourage and comfort each other. Three things. And the actual gathering in the home is clearly defined in 1 Corinthians 14, 24-26. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, everyone, then the unbeliever is convicted of sin, is brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. And Scripture says, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Mm-hmm. So it's in the home groups that the unbeliever observes the power of God, manifesting the gifts of the Spirit as we minister to one another.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Before we go on, I know there are people going, I really want to get more information and grab onto this. And I'm going to give a website, if you don't mind, Ralph. It's, I believe, touchusa.org is a place to go that you can get many resources. Just want to plug that in right now because I'm sure people just listening want to know. Ralph has written 40 books, almost 40 books, most of them on this subject, an amazing insight into many things that he's touched on. And Ralph, you've also spent much of your time overseas, around the world, building the ecclesia, as you call it. What have you experienced in that journey?
Well, I gave up on the United States. I wrote a book, Where Do We Go From Here?, that after it was published became a kind of a handbook. We had over 100,000 in print the first year, and it went all over the world. It was just something the Holy Spirit did, but it explained the contrast between organized Christianity and organism Christianity. And so I began to travel. I first went to Singapore and spent about 4 years in Singapore. We started with a fine little community there of 600 and grew to 7,000. And we were all in basic communities of Christ, cell groups. I interchange those two terms. A true cell group is a true basic body of Christ. And out of that, we would gather. The two-wing church always as the scattered body and the collected body to hear the apostles teach. And from that, I went to South Africa and spent several years there. We saw 1-2 million member denomination at the Apostolic Church of South Africa that was transformed. And then we went to Brazil, where we had an office in Curitiba and helped every denomination, including some very liberal Roman Catholic communities that wanted to abandon a lot of the the strappings and understood that salvation was by grace through faith, through the blood of Christ. And we have 17,000 churches there in all denominations. And so if we're going to see any radical change in the body of Christ to become the actual body of the last days that Peter prophesied, we're going to have to begin by focusing not on the large group, but by creating basic bodies, starting with as few as three, who can multiply to become no larger than 8 to 12 before multiplying into a daughter group. This is our goal.
We're going to, Dr. Ralph, that's the goal is real. I can't agree with you more. We're going to take a quick break here, and you've done so much work across the world. We want to kind of turn to America a little bit in our next segment. There are some great successes, and we are seeing this concept of cell groups and communities come to life here. And I want to hear your thoughts on how can the church in America become an organism? And then another concept you talk about, it's followership versus fellowship. We're going to dive in a little bit more to what you're meaning by that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're talking to Dr. Ralph Naber about small groups and the cell church.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Alani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're here with Dr. Ralph Naber. If you'd like to hear this entire program, again, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, download it, listen to it from front to back. It is an important message for our church today. I believe it could be one of the most important ones I have heard in a long time. Thank you, Dr. Ralph, for being with us today. Dr. Ralph has spent his life teaching, mentoring pastors around the world. He's also spent over 50 years in radio broadcast. He's written almost 40 books. He has lectured in seminaries across the world, in the United States. And at the age of 91, he has now equipped thousands of churches in 35 countries on what he calls Christ's basic body. And we talked a little bit in the last segment about your work in other countries. We want to talk about that work, that movement that we have here in America. What have you experienced? What has been the response of the church in America to the small group movement?
Well, I don't want to insult anyone, but I think we have done the poorest job of the small group movement here in America of anywhere in the world. We have allowed the small group attached to the church to be a holding tank for Christians, and it has seldom ever become focused on harvesting the lost. We have never, ever understood that the heartbeat of a body of Christ meeting in a home is to reveal the presence and power of Christ through each person being anointed to be a priest, a minister, and the scripture tells us we are all priests. And priestly ministry means I'm connected at one end to God and I'm connected at the other end to an unbeliever, and I am that link between God and that unbeliever where the power of God flows. Mm-hmm. And in a cell or a home group in America, there should be a very heavy concentration, not on Bible study or book study, but by our ministering to each other. And we have to start with confession. If we, plural, confess our, plural, sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. I don't know how much time you want me to go on about this, but I've got a couple of things I'd like to add.
Absolutely.
Please do.
Please do.
John Wesley understood that the most important thing for the class meeting, as he called the cell group, was to begin with confession. And if you study the origin of his movement in the Methodist Church, when the people got together, their first question was, what have you done this week that did not please God? And this was the issue that would remain for the rest of the evening. And as people ministered to each other by prophesying, strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit would cause people to use the gifts of the Spirit to flow through the group with healing and deliverance. And the cell group in America is usually little fellowship, some singing. I get so irritated that we turn them into Bible studies where
exactly.
The Bible hides me from you so I can't see you and you can't see me. Mm-hmm. And then we're saying, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And we share a lot of ignorance. We ought to go to the temple to hear the apostles teach. But the Bible should be over our heads. And under its authority, we are to prophesy or minister in the anointing to one another. Mm-hmm. And I find very few, if any, churches in America with small groups who have any concept of this. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to pastors about it who call me, they're kind of stunned after I talk to them a little bit. And they say, wow, that sure is different, isn't it? But that's exactly what the body of Christ was doing in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you talk a little bit in your writings about the difference being the experience of the church being a fellowship experience versus a followership experience. What does that mean?
Yes. Well, it means that in Christ, there is a unity that draws us together where we can understand each other. We all have warts and pimples, but we are all on a journey together, and we are to support each other, encourage each other, strengthen each other, and that is fellowship. Mm-hmm. fellowship is when you have one man in the pulpit, and he is getting everybody to follow what he wants them to be and to do.
I see.
A good church staff does not create programs and then dump people into those programs like you put corn husks in a bucket. A good church staff would say, what has God anointed you to do? Are you called to this or that or the other? And how can I assist you? How can I mentor you? How can I help you develop your ministry? But we do it the opposite way. We sit there and say, these guys are the ministers. I don't need to minister. I just need to give them a little money so they can do the ministry on my behalf. In the kingdom of God, there is no behalf for me. I've got my own calling, and that calling is to reveal to the people in my little world his presence and power.
Mm-hmm. I wanna...
Well, this is so valuable, Dr. Neighbors. I just have to tell you, I was excited because the churches I've been associated with have really put an emphasis on the importance of small group, but it's nothing like you've described. Nothing.
This is the problem. We are stuck in the mud of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working right now with a little team in Montenegro, which is a small country on the edge of the sea over in the Russian-speaking world. And there's a little visionary team over there that are trying to put together a movement that will get us out of the past and move us toward the present, that because the body of Christ that is predicted by Peter for the last days can't possibly be anywhere close to what we're doing in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
It is so far beyond us. If you just read what he said, in the last days, every young man and young woman will prophesy. And we know nothing about what it means to prophesy. And we're scared of it because we don't want to get too much Holy Spirit going because maybe we'll get radical. And as long as we drag in our heels and hold back from the Holy Spirit or make him a tool for what we want to accomplish so we can grow or build or get rich or something, we're never going to get there. We need to die to ourselves and let the Spirit of Christ manifest himself by what we do together, and that can only be done in the home group.
Yeah.
But we do need to go to the temple to hear the apostles teach.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if a good apostle is teaching, he's equipping the people in the pew for their ministries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whenever I listen to a preacher, the one thing I'm asking myself is this dude trying to equip those people for ministry? And the answer 99 times out of 100 is no.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any intention of equipping them. He wants to get his salary, and he's the minister, and they're the people who support him and support his ministry. But he's not in the business of equipping.
Mm-hmm.
And then we play around with discipleship that does not lead to this either. It's just a lot of class stuff. Discipleship is something you do while you're in the middle of the activity, not in a lecture setting or a training setting.
Right. Dr. Ralph, you know, it's sobering what you're saying. I mean, it's... Again, I cannot agree with you more, and I think, Suzanne, we can all agree that this is real, this is sobering, and this is a direction,
yeah.
And it is a call to action in my mind. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. Where do we go from here, Dr. Ralph? Where do you see us going from here in America? How can we as the body of Christ, and we'll start right here in this radio studio in this moment, and teach us. Where can we go from here? Stay with us on this radio show. We are talking with Dr. Ralph Naber about the importance of the organism of the body of Christ, the second body, the two-wing church, the teaching of the apostles, and the work of the priestly ministry in small groups. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We are with our special guest, Dr. Ralph Naber. He was called at the age of 33 out of church leadership to influence the churches of the world to return to the lifestyle and the mission of the early church. He's written almost 40 books, including popular resources like The Year of Equipping, The Shepherd's Guidebook, Where Do We Go From Here? And in fact, his survival kit for new Christians has passed 2 million copies in English and has been translated into 37 languages. Dr. Ralph, welcome back to our show. We were in the last segment talking about the movement of the American church and where we are and how far we need to go. And my question before we left is, what do we do? What do we do? We've got about 10 minutes left in our show, and I just want to give you that time to speak.
If your home group is going to fulfill the purpose God has for it, you must understand He created the small group gatherings for one major purpose. He wants to reveal His power and presence through anointing each member to serve the group as God's priest. Revelation 1:6 teaches us that we're all priests serving our God. And that means each follower of Jesus is a priest. And 1 Peter chapter 2 describes our gatherings as priests and calls our home group a priesthood. In verse 5, we're called a holy priesthood. And in verse 9, we are called a royal priesthood. Why? Well, think of an electric wire that's attached at one end to a source of power and at the other end to a source that needs that power. For example, a light bulb, source, wire, object needing power. Now, realize that a priest is a spiritual wire between God, the source of the power, and a person in need who needs the power of God for an area of life. Let's see how that should take place when believers gather in a home group. It's a gathering of the priesthood. Now, what is needed for each priest to become active? A person in need. And so the scripture teaches us the first step. And as I just said, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, this is plural. Sharing our spiritual battles is the first step. So how do we understand the original meaning of the word here for sin in 1 John 1:9? Well, it can mean to fall short, to make an error, to confess a deficiency, or to share a fault. Sometimes it means confessing stealing or an immoral act or a rebellion instead of obeying. So when we first meet together and we don't know each other well, the things we confess will probably not be those we are ashamed of. Sharing need for a physical problem or an issue we're struggling with at work, or a habit we're having a hard time breaking. But as each issue is mentioned, the rest of the group must become priests, and this means they concentrate on the need. Each person must decide whether they are going to give human advice or be quiet until the Holy Spirit anoints them with God's presence and his words or activity that they'll respond with. Human advice may be practical, but it's also harmful. The group should decide together about how to accept words the giver says that are obviously not from God. Almost always, priestly advice will come as each person begins to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit within them. It does not take long before we sense the difference between our advice and anointed guidance God is giving to us. He wishes to cooperate far more than we understand. Gradually, as the group begins comfortable sharing needs and listening for the guidance of God, they will experience the precious reality of being God's priests. This priestly act of hearing God and touching man with what is heard is carefully described by Paul as prophesying. Most of us don't understand this. But as we recognize this, the online group needs to understand that their gathering together is for recognizing everyone in the room, everyone feeling happy and greeting each other, then there needs to be a time of inviting the presence of Christ, the head of the church, to come and take over, and not trying to act like you're in a church service. Music is wonderful to use, and there are wonderful praise songs, but God can give a lot of other ways also to worship. And then we have to go into a time of confession. The leader can begin by praying, welcoming the Holy Spirit to come and bringing words to the priesthood, and prayerfully waiting for someone to speak. In the beginning of the group formation, you may need to next year, what happens next if you're leading the group, but gradually the group will understand they're coming together to build one another up, and they don't really need any guidance from the leader because the Holy Spirit is in charge.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ralph. I would love to invite you to come back on our show again. We are out of time for this series and this segment, but you are, the wisdom that you pass is amazing. If anyone listening on our radio show wants more information, there is much out there. Go to touchusa.org. That's one resource. Dr. Ralph's books can be found on Amazon and any other platform. They're widely available. His newest project, the Cover the Bible, is also out there. Again, I apologize. We are done for this segment, but we'd really like to have you back for further discussion about this, if you're willing, Dr. Ralph.
And Cover the Bible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Thank you. These have been amazing and inspiring words from the author and teacher, Dr. Ralph Naber Jr. His discussion about the need for the small groups is something I hope you will hear again. I hope you will go to our website, thegoodlifehawaii.com, download that, our show today, front to back, share it. Share it with your pastor. I'm going to say that. Share it with your pastor. It's an important choice that our churches, I believe, need to make. And it will move all of us into priestly roles in the body of Christ, not spectator roles, but truly priestly, active ministry roles, so that more of the lost can be saved, more
spirit-filled.
Can come to know Jesus Christ and be spirit-filled, absolutely. We thank you so much, Dr. Ralph, for being with us today from Texas. Again, his books are widely available, his teachings, his videos as well. So please go ahead and download them from touchusa.org. If you'd like more information from the goodlifehawaii.com, go to our website. That's goodlifehawaii.com. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with somebody near you. And if you haven't done so, today is the perfect time for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Find a small group. Get to know Christ through a small group. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. There's lots more information there. If you'd like to help us in your prayers, if you'd like to give us a donation, support us financially, you can do that at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click on Partners. Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Ralph Naber Jr. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Antai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lonnie Ka'a'a, sitting in studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.